During the Switch, Pivot, or Quit chat, we talk to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. On today's show, we have a Switch, Pivot, or Quit chat with Chief Wanderess Libria Jones of My Wonder Year. She's a former IT woman who worked as a project manager for a software company. But despite loving her work and life, Libria felt a pull to experience life as she had always dreamed, so she created My Wonder Year. Her specific program takes 30 people from all over the U.S. and allows them to work remotely for a year while living, exploring, and experiencing different countries. My Wonder Year fills a void in the market for families that want to travel and work remotely. It was created out of a desire to see the world with her daughter. Let's hear about her experience. Welcome to the show, Libria. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So excited to have you on because, you know, as you're probably familiar, we had another world traveler on and your story is a little bit different. So we're going to talk about a different side of things. So first off, tell us where you are currently and where you're living right now because your journey has already begun.
Yes, I'm actually in our third location. Mm-hmm. We're doing four locations for the whole year. And we've done Prague, Czech Republic, Chiang Mai, Thailand, and we are currently in Cape Town, South Africa.
That's not a bad place to be.
Yeah. It's gorgeous here.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of all the beautiful beaches and everything, so you can't be mad at that. So tell us how you got here. Let's start with how you went from working in IT to heading up a dynamic program like My Wonder Year. And tell us a little bit about My Wonder Year for those who are unfamiliar as well.
Sure. I'll answer your second question first. My Wonder Year is a program full of what I like to call wanderers, who are pretty much dope people traveling the world doing dope stuff. Mm-hmm. I have a group of about 19 people that we're traveling the world for a whole year, living a life that we don't have to vacation from, is mm-hmm. what it boils down to. Mm-hmm. And how I got here is I was working in IT as a project manager and realized that I was running out of time to live this dream that I've had since I was 19 to travel the world or live out of the country for at least a year. And I say I was running out of time because my daughter was, it was going to be her last semester, her last year in middle school. Oh. And I've always wanted to leave before she started high school. I only had, this was my last chance. And I was looking for opportunities and just kind of ran up upon a whole bunch of roadblocks and obstacles in doing so. And I actually found a cool program that's similar to what I'm doing now that I wanted to apply for to travel the world for a year. But I realized that they didn't accept children. And I clearly have one. And I don't know, I was just exasperated and tired and just at the point of being like, you just, never mind, I just won't try it. And then I decided that, you know, nobody else should decide my future for me. So I figured, what the heck, I just do it myself. And I presumed that there were other people like me who figured they couldn't do it either for whatever reason. And so I thought, you know, let me do this for me and let me do this for them. And I have, you know, 19 people who fit that description.
That is amazing. So to clarify for us, are you still working full-time right now while participating in My Wonder Year?
No, I work for myself full-time. My original plan was to continue working full-time. I worked full-time while I was launching the business, mm-hmm. but I stopped working in IT maybe a month or two before we left the U.S.
Okay.
I think it might have been 2 months. The point at which I realized I was getting as many emails in my Wonder Year inbox as I was in my work inbox was the point at which I realized that I needed to focus on this full time.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
It just got to be too much.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's time consuming and probably a bit overwhelming creating a program that takes people on the road for a year, right?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a lot of moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of, you know, at any given moment where we're talking to people across, you know, 3 or 4 different countries across different time zones. And then we're also dealing with the dynamic of the group. You know, everybody's got their needs and their wants and their desires. And then it's just a lot. It's a lot to juggle all of those things. As a matter of fact, when we landed in Cape Town, you know, I was here for maybe a week or two, before I was already focused on planning for Colombia. So,
yeah,
there's always the moving parts, but
yes.
We're rounding out. I think we're in our 7th month now.
Okay.
8th month.
Okay. And your next destination is Colombia.
Medellin, Colombia. Yes.
Medellin, Colombia. Nice. So will you spend the entire time in Medellin or will you venture out and spend time in other cities as well? I know there's probably vacation time, but will you sort of live in any other cities?
Yeah. So we tend to have a home base in one place.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 months, and we don't control people's schedule, so they can come and go as they please.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal was to put people in a city just long enough for it to feel like home.
Right.
And we felt like 3 months was a good amount of time for you to really feel like you know the city,
mm-hmm.
but also get out and visit other places without feeling like you missed out on the city that's on the actual trip. And so I think up to this point, we probably had collectively over 100 or so side trips.
Mm.
In Europe alone, I think there were 50 side trips that people took.
Wow.
because
people
the locations
love Europe.
That we go to,
yeah,
right. The locations that we go to is so inexpensive to, you know, kind of get around. Once we were in Prague, it was, you know, for instance, it'd be $100 to fly to Paris and back, or $60 to fly to Rome and back.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually what happens is we're in a place and the group on their own just, you know, pick up and go places. Like we've got 2 people that are going to Ghana next week on a side trip.
Nice.
Someone just went to Zambia last week. A bunch of us went to Joburg a couple weeks ago. And someone's in Durban right now. So, you know, people are always going places.
Yeah.
We will take a weekend trip to Cartagena while we're in Medellin, though.
Okay. That's
as a group.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, it seems like this just gives people an opportunity to sort of explore more than maybe they would on their own too, because I'm sure that during this experience, you meet other people that may want to do some of the same things that you want to do. And then the barrier to doing it is there is no barrier, because it's like, if you're coming from the States, you have to get people on board for this international travel and people tend to fall off and stuff. But if you're already sort of in proximity, it's easier to make it happen, right?
Yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. That's pretty much where the majority of the value in what we do comes into play. So it's not as easy to say, hey, girl, what you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Let's travel the world for a year.
Right.
nobody has friends they can just call up and say,
right,
let's go travel the world for a year. And so what we did was we put those friends together for people to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, we've also created, you know, micro communities. They get together and travel together on a regular basis. And whether
mm-hmm.
you're a solo traveler or not, the difference is, like you said, you'd be doing all these trips from the States, so you might not get to hit, you know, 5 or 6 countries in Europe on a trip or in 1 year. But because you're living in Europe for 3 months and it's so easy to just, you know, hop a train or, you know, hop a quick flight, you can,
mm-hmm.
you know, see more. So you get a lot more compacted into that 3 months.
Right. And that's such a good point, because I, as you know, because Labria, for background, you guys, we met in Paris when I was living in London for 4 months. And that was just enough time. It was enough time for me to get acclimated to the city. It was enough time for me to feel comfortable moving around, especially by myself. But it was also enough time for me to bounce around and go to other cities and visit other countries. So it was like perfect timing. So I think the duration that you guys spent in these places, that's like key right there. That's clutch for sure. So.
It is. It is. And I need to have an aside for just a moment. Your trip to London was so freaking epic. I thoroughly, you know, it's been what, three or four years now?
Yeah, like 3 years. Yeah, I think almost 3 years.
And I still remember it. I still remember your trip, and I still remember your story, and I still remember just being in complete awe of what you were doing back then. And I don't know if you know this, but that trip is kind of what sparked all of my travels. Like, it was my first trip out of the country in 10 years, and I haven't stopped. Since we got back from Paris, I have not stopped going.
Wow, that is so dope. That is so, and it was just like the group that we were with and the energy and everything. And I think you guys might have went to go on to Amsterdam after Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, you just felt this freedom and this just like this vibe that was like, it was like, we're here, we're alive, we're taking advantage of everything. We're like really living life to the fullest right now. And those are the types of moments that I'm sure the people traveling with you are experiencing on a daily. And that is just something that you can't put a price tag on. You just can't. Those memories, those experiences, that feeling, it's just, it's priceless, really. It truly is.
Yeah. The other thing that's great about what's happening here is not just proving to ourselves that we can design our lives, and we can do this. We can go and travel for a year and see all these great things. But for most of the people, actually, I'd say all of the people that have come on the trip, their possibilities have changed now.
Right.
So now they're completely rethinking what their plans are for their lives because, you know, they've seen what's possible. They've seen what's available to them. Most of them aren't even planning to go back to the U.S. at this point.
Wow. It just really opens up your world. And that's one of the things that I know I definitely experienced when I came back. My outlook on things was different. My my goals and aspirations had changed because it was like, I truly feel now like people tell you you can do anything, you can be anything. Like you hear that, but it's like once you're in a space where you really feel empowered and you feel like you're taking control in a sense and you're really doing things that are out of the box and not, and you're just not really conforming to the norms, you then really feel like you can do anything. And I'm not worried about what people say or what they think. I'm really, really concerned with doing what's best for me and what feels good for me, you know? So that's an experience that will, it really changes your life. It does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Everybody here is learning so much, not just about the world, but the crazy thing is what you really learn about yourself when you remove yourself from everything that you're familiar with. You know, you don't have your crutches and your familiarity and your security blankets and your safety nets, right?
Yeah.
And you're putting yourself on a daily basis in unfamiliar territory with new people, new surroundings, new customs, and things that aren't necessarily, that don't necessarily match up with what you expected, with what your expectations are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think one of the most valuable things that people are learning on this journey is who they really are.
Right. It makes you dig a little deeper. So in the last few years, people have been like more and more obsessed with travel and like this nomad lifestyle. And I think at the point where we were in Paris, that was sort of like the tip off of everything. Like it was really getting ramped up at that point in about 2013, 14. So how would you describe life right now for you in one word?
Oh my God.
So much pressure.
So
I know.
Many words. You're only going to give me one?
Just one. Because you're living like this lifestyle that so many people sort of aspire to live right now. So I want them to know what it feels like to live in your world. What's that one word that would describe your world right now?
Oh gosh, I've got all these. I wish you could see, like, there's a picture in my brain of a whole bunch of words flying around. If I had to pick one word, it would be unexpected. That's not what I wish you could see my face. I'm surprised that that's the word that came out.
But I love it. That's real.
in good and bad ways. Don't get me wrong. You know, I say that because there are so many things that I just didn't expect how I would react to them. Mm. I didn't expect to miss my friends so much.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I knew I would miss my friends, right?
Yeah.
But I just didn't expect how much I would miss them.
Mm.
And I think part of that is because in all of the excitement of doing this, you know, everybody wants to talk about how great it is and how much you're looking forward to it. And we don't really think about the fact that Whitney Houston said it in a When They Fell song, for every win, someone must lose, right? For every gain, there's a loss, right? There's a flip side to everything. And while this is an amazing experience, there's something I'm sacrificing for this experience.
Right.
And so there are definitely times where I realize it hits me like, oh my God, like my friends are out having a great time and I'm missing out on that. So it's really interesting to see life continue to go on without me there.
Yeah, and it's like you're living a different life than they're living too. So it's like two different lives.
Completely different life.
I actually
dated a guy who was in the Air Force, and I asked him what was the toughest thing about being deployed.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that one of the toughest things about being deployed was knowing that everybody's still living their lives without you there.
Mm.
And I was like, Dad, I totally get that. I didn't expect to feel that way.
Yeah.
I did not expect to be able to relate to some man who is in the Air Force and has been deployed in Qatar.
Right. But you get it
I get it. I also didn't expect to fall in love with so many places and so many people. And I didn't expect to be so comfortable everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere we've been has felt like home to me. Every single place that we've been, it just felt like home.
Mm-hmm.
I love Prague for very specific reasons. I love Thailand for specific reasons too, and I love it here for reasons. I mean, there are things that I don't like about some of the places too, right? There's always a upside and downside, and even those things were unexpected. So it's unexpected is the word. I didn't expect. So I didn't expect what it would be like to watch my daughter become a teenager while traveling abroad either.
Right. And it's so funny. You said she's in the other room watching TV right now. Like, what is she watching? Is she watching something local or is she watching something like online?
Girl, she's watching Cartoon Network.
Oh, really? But wait.
Teen Titans Go.
So you guys have Cartoon Network there?
Yes. So they do have...
That's what people don't know, probably.
They have maybe eight U.S. channels.
Okay.
I want to say. Okay. There's about eight U.S. channels. Mm-hmm. And they have their own version of Scandal. So Scandal here is called The Fixer. Yeah, it's called The Fixer here because they already had a show called Scandal.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
So wait, is
I was
the
watching
Fixer
it the other
still...
day, and it is scandalous.
So is it still Scandal or is it different characters and different actors and actresses and everything?
It's nothing like our Scandal. It's a show that already existed before Scandal was created.
Okay.
It's basically a soap opera, but it is scandalous, honey. Let me tell you.
I love it. And see that, the fact that they have some crossover with a few U.S. channels and things like that, that probably helps to make it feel more like home, even for your daughter. Because it's like sometimes you just need that little piece of home that makes you comfortable, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was one of the biggest things that I had to find for her when we got to Thailand. So Prague's okay. Actually, same thing in Prague. But Thailand's even more different, right? Because there's really no one there that looks like her.
Yeah.
And, you know, they speak a whole different language.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got to Thailand, she was in her room most of the time playing on her computer.
Mm.
She became completely antisocial and just didn't want to do anything. And I finally found a school, an international school, wherever we go, I try to find a school where she can play soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And someone finally got back to me, and I brought her out to the soccer field, and it was just the best day ever. It was just that moment, you know, just something that she could do that felt like home, and and people that she could talk to and speak English with, and you know, just those little things. But having a piece of the familiar is very, very, very important.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I mean, she participates in some local stuff. She actually has a friend here that, you know, they go to the movies and stuff. I mean, here is probably the most similar to home of the places that we've been.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So would you say that you're comfortable with change and adapting to new environments?
Yes.
Okay.
Very.
Okay.
I welcome it.
Yeah. Do you think that that sort of has to be a part of your personality or makeup before you embark on a journey like this?
Yes. I mean, I think it's in us to change. We just have to be willing to do it. You know,
yeah.
Change
yeah.
is a natural thing, mm-hmm. right? We're designed to evolve. That's just the nature of humans.
Right.
We just have to be willing to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And so
fight it.
Right. Does it have to be in the makeup of a person that goes on a trip like this? I don't think it has to be. It definitely makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd even say for the person that went into this thinking that they couldn't change
mm-hmm.
and came out finding out that they can
yeah.
and that it's not scary and that it's not painful and that a lot of times it's for the better, that person more than likely has had an even more meaningful experience.
Very
right?
true.
Because they've learned something amazing about themselves. They've learned something about themselves that they had no idea, but
mm-hmm.
they're open to it and mm-hmm. that, and that being adaptable is probably one of their strengths, a strength mm-hmm. that they didn't even know they had.
Yeah, yeah. It pulls different things out of you, and probably even that pulling you out of your comfort zone is a great thing, too. What would you say is the number one or a key to embracing change? It doesn't have to be the number one, but like a key to embracing change.
For me, just having faith that things will work out.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend and I had a conversation one day. She's a worrier. She worries about everything. And she was like, Libria, why don't you worry about stuff? And I was like, can you give me any examples in our lifetime? We've been friends since we were 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
That's
okay.
more than 30 years. That's all
yeah.
I'll say. I said, can you give me an example in our lifetime of anything that has not worked out? And even if it didn't work out the way that we wanted to,
mm-hmm.
we still were okay.
You're okay.
Do you have any examples?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no, there it is. Like, mm-hmm. Why do I need to worry? Either it will work out or I'll be okay with how it works out.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's key to embracing change, just knowing that no matter what, you'll be fine. You'll
yeah.
be okay.
Yeah, yeah. So would you say that you figured out your why in life?
In my entire life.
Yeah, like so far, you know, because it can change, you know, it can change. But so far, do you feel like you figured out your why?
Yeah, I think it will change. Like I said, I'm open to change.
Yeah.
And I think it's just part of life. I wrote down the list of all of the things that I want to be when I grow up.
Mm.
And there's so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
So my why right now, yeah, I think so. I think I figured that out.
Okay. Would you mind sharing it with us?
No, I don't mind sharing it. Right now my why is, I guess it's a two-parter. It's having the freedom to live the type of life that I want to live.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I enjoy working. I'm not a person that wants to sit around and not do anything. I loved my job as an IT project manager.
Yeah.
I think my biggest issue with my job was I often felt like I was at my desk because someone wanted me to be there.
Mm.
And I was pretending to be busy when I wasn't. And so
I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to contribute to society. I don't mind working. I don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind contributing to the workforce or whatever business, whatever industry I'm in. What I want to do is make that contribution in a place and in a time that works best for me. Because, you know, we've all got our most productive hours and we all have our most productive environments.
Yeah.
A lot of times we work in traditional environments where you're told that you have to be in the office from this time to this time. And it just never made sense to me. That was the only thing that made me so unhappy about working.
Mm.
It's feeling like I had to be in a certain place for a certain period of time to be
mm-hmm.
productive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not true. It's just
yeah.
not true. I found that I was much more productive when I worked from home
mm-hmm.
than I was when I worked in the office.
Mm.
And even when I started working for myself or started working remotely, I would still take time and like go into an office. Even now, I work in a co-working space. Mm-hmm. So I go into the office every day, at least for a few hours. But I get to make that decision. My why is that I want to make the decision.
Yeah. That is probably going to sound very familiar for a lot of people, because I think that like our parents grew up in a time where they didn't see it possible for them to have a why and for them to make these decisions about where their lives could go or would go in the way that we do it now. We see it with a lot more of a clear lens, and we have more options and things that we see that could be possible. Whereas before, it was like, do X, Y, Z and live your life, live this life. Okay. Whether you like it or not, just live this life. But now we're in a space where we feel like I could live this life. I could live that life. I could switch back to that life. You know, I can, I can hop around because I can do what feels right for me and what makes me happy, as long as I can be responsible for myself and provide for myself. That's the key that a lot of people are looking for. So I think your why, yeah, it's on point for probably many people, really.
Yeah, I mean, I remember thinking one day, you know, at the end of my one and only life, what do I want to say happened? Mm. What do I want to say I did? I was having a conversation with one of my old bosses, and we were talking about work-life balance.
Funny enough.
Right. We were talking about work-life balance, and we were talking about how some people feel like they have to spend so much time at work. And I said, listen, I am very clear about, you know, when I'm in the office, you get my time. You definitely get my time and attention, and I'm going to be productive, and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to. Mm-hmm. But my life is my life, and I only get one of them. And when I'm gone, my coworkers ain't coming to my funeral. No, we'll send some flowers and a card. I know you will. My daughter, on the other hand, my friends, on the other hand.
Yeah.
Right? So it's my one and only life, and I should live it as I choose. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, with the parameters that I have to provide for myself and I have to be a responsible person. Mm-hmm. But I only get one shot at this.
Yep.
Only one shot. And I deserve to enjoy it. He didn't give it to me not to, right?
Right. Exactly. That's what, like, Gary Vee says. He's like, do you know how amazing it is? You know how he has this, like, intense voice. Do you know how amazing it is for us to be, like, a human being? Like, what are the odds of you being a human being? And when I first heard him say that, I was thinking, yeah, as opposed to being like a plant or something, right? like, you know, like, it's like, this is pretty amazing that I'm able to be a human being and not like a pigeon, you know?
So that is like, hilarious, because weirdly enough, I stare at animals sometimes and I think, God, it must be boring.
What do I do all day?
If you're a fish, tell me, if you are a fish, what are you thinking about all day?
Right. But that's the crazy thing. Like, they know nothing different. But that's why it's so amazing to be a human, and why we need to take advantage of everything that's in front of us, all of our desires, everything that we even think we want to try or think we want to do. It's like, you might as well do it. You might as well try it. What do you have to lose?
Yeah.
You only have this one shot, you know? So what did you, speaking of trying things, what did you do first to start putting things into action behind the idea of my Wonder Year? After you came up with the idea, like what was some of the things that you started doing to like sort of make this a reality?
It's funny because I feel like it all happened so fast. I mentioned it in passing to a coworker, you know, almost as a joke. I almost said jokingly, I should just do this myself. And the thought just would not leave me alone. Every morning I was waking up earlier and earlier with, you know, ideas pouring out of me, to the point where I just had to start writing things down. Mm-hmm. I had my leak's first notebook. Do you remember her first notebook?
Yeah, her
first journal. My notebook. Yeah. I had the first journal. And I filled that doggone thing up every morning. I still have it.
I still have mine too. Yep, that's awesome.
Look at that. I still go back to it to remind myself of the passion that I had when I started, you know, on those tough days. Yeah. But I think some of the key things that I did was committing. I remember I needed to buy a flight to Prague I was trying to make the decision between Prague and Budapest, and a flight deal came up. A flight deal came up around November to fly from Miami to Prague. And I was so nervous about buying a plane ticket. It's a plane ticket.
Which you had done so many times before.
I've purchased plane tickets before. It's not new. But I remember talking to him. Oh, and I hired a business coach. That was one of the big things that I did. I think that that was pivotal, investing in myself. One of the things that I am is honest with myself, and I historically have not been what I would call a finisher. I start things, I get excited about it, and then I'm like, "Hey, that was cool." but this I felt like it had to happen, and in order to do that, I needed someone that would bully me across the finish line. And Dietra Giles of Executive Prep. Was someone that I had met early in my career when I first moved to Atlanta. And she and I hadn't spoken really in 5 or 6 years, but I remembered just, you know, what a great motivator she was, how no-nonsense she was, and how she kind of reminded me of, like, my favorite teacher in high school, the one you love to impress, but you're scared to piss off, that teacher.
That we all know.
I reached out to her and hired her, and she was very, very pivotal in getting me across the finish line. And I remember calling her about this plane ticket, and I was like, "Teacher, there's a plane ticket to Prague," and it was like $320 for a plane ticket to Europe. I was like, $320. I should book this ticket. I was like, I need to book this ticket and go look at some apartments and, you know, start trying to get a feel for the city. I said, but I'm scared to. She was like, why? I said, because if I buy the ticket, then I have to do this. She was like, no, you don't buy the ticket and get off my phone. If that's all that needs to happen for this to happen, please buy the ticket. So that was one of the big things, just investing in the dream. You know, putting my resources towards making it happen, because, you know, for everybody, there are things that, you know, if you're going to trade it for something, then the something that you're trading it for has to be, it's a commitment. It's proof of a commitment, right? And two things for me are money and time. I'm a single mother, so my money is precious to me. And time, I work full time. You know, if I'm not working, I'm with my daughter. So any time that I'm taking from that it has to go towards something that's going to be meaningful. And so I invested a lot of my time and money up front into making it happen. But the two pivotal things were hiring Dietra as a business coach and purchasing that first flight, because that made it so real.
So you incorporate community service into your program. Can you tell us a bit more about that and what that looks like and how you sort of decided to include that element in the program?
It was my daughter's idea.
Oh, how sweet.
She's a very compassionate person. To the point where I came home one day and she made a PowerPoint of how we can help homeless people.
She's too much, but I love it. Like, watch, we'll see her as like the head of UNICEF or something one day.
Maybe so. She was like, "Mommy, can we do some community service?" And for me, so here's the mushy side. I believe everything starts and ends with love, right? And I almost feel like this program is like my big act of love. You know, we're doing something for people who would not have otherwise have done this on their own, right? But in our travels, we get to not only get something from the communities that we go to, from the cities that we go to, but we get to give something back to those cities. So we get to spread love wherever we go, which is super important to me. And I love that it was my daughter's idea. And when she brought it to me, I jumped right on it and felt like it needed to be part of what we were doing. Just because, you know, it can't be a one-way relationship. right? We can't go into, pull up into Thailand and just, you know, take all the noodles, take all the cheap massages.
Right. And then bounce to the next country.
And then bounce to the next place and not give something back. And so recently we just did a habitat build in a township, in the Mufulani township here outside of Cape Town. Mm. It's one of the smaller townships. And if you don't know what a township is, I'll just tell you really quickly. Mm. Townships are areas of the city that were undeveloped land. During apartheid, they would move blacks and coloreds to those areas. Coloreds are non-black and non-white people in South Africa. Mm. And so those were areas of town where they would push people who were not white to go and live in. Mm. And so a lot of the townships, some of the townships have just very dilapidated housing, mm-hmm. not running water, not electricity. And Habitat for Humanity is doing some great work in building houses, stable houses with foundations and bricks and running water and electricity in the townships. And so we had a great time giving back and helping out at the Mufulani Township in building a house.
That
it was a
fantastic
full day of labor.
Yeah, I'm sure you were beat after that. Oh my gosh.
Man, best workout ever.
Right. That's dope though. I didn't know that Habitat for Humanity was like in South Africa like that and really actually had projects going and stuff. That might be something for other people listening if you're interested in maybe making a trip to South Africa and doing it with a purpose. That might be one way to go. I don't know. Look into it.
Absolutely. They are, Habitat for Humanity is actually worldwide. They also have offices in Thailand as well.
Okay. That's dope. Good to know. So we know that, you know, you've obviously done a lot and experienced a lot throughout this time, but when we sort of touched on this before, what do you feel like you learned about yourself in the past year of like living on the road? I know that you've witnessed other people learning things about themselves and their growth, but what do you feel like you learned about yourself that maybe you didn't know through this experience?
One thing I've learned is that, I've always thought that I was very, very social people person, because I spend so much time with people. I have learned that I definitely need time to have to take time to spend on my own.
Mm.
It's so necessary. Necessary. I mean, I'm either with the group or I'm with my daughter. I'm always with someone for the most part. But the biggest thing that I've learned, you know how we say, you said that we say, I think I can do anything. I know I can do anything.
Yeah.
But it's not something we really believe.
Yeah.
Before I came on this trip, I didn't really believe that.
Mm.
And I think most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't believe that.
Yeah.
We say it. We tell our kids, right? We tell our friends when they're struggling to find the motivation to do something big.
Right.
But we didn't really believe it. We don't, not everybody really believed that. It's something that we believe because we're supposed to, right?
Yeah.
It's basically propaganda that's always been given us. You can do anything.
Yeah.
But I don't think we truly do believe that. If we did, all of us would be doing exactly what we want to do with our lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so before we left on this trip, that's what I struggled with. I didn't really believe that. If I'm completely honest, I did not believe that.
Mm.
And I had to, it was a constant struggle, or it was constant work on a regular basis to remind myself that I actually can. Leading up to this trip, there were definitely days when I was like, who do you think you are? You can't do this. What are you doing?
Yeah.
This is too much. This is too big. This is too overwhelming. You're in over your head.
Mm.
And so it was every single day having to step over those thoughts or jump over those thoughts or leap across those thoughts. And from there to where I am now, I actually do believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you so, have I sort mean, of like the proof.
Yeah. Like, hey, here I go.
Yeah. I did it. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So now, I mean, you know, of course, anything, there's a reasonable range, right? I can't leap over tall buildings in a single bound or anything like that. But,
right.
You know, given an objective and motivation, I actually can. I actually can get to that. I can get from whatever my point A is to whatever my point B is. I can absolutely do that.
You know, you're right. I'm glad that you touched on that, because a lot of what we face day to day when we're talking about change, when we're talking about remixing our lives, when we're talking about wanting more and feeling unfulfilled but trying to reach that fulfillment, because that's a lot of what we tend to discuss at Life According to Her. And when we're talking about those things, a lot of it is mindset. A lot of it is, what do you really think that you're capable of? Because I'm of the thought process that if an idea comes to you, or if something is put in front of you that is a result of something that you're doing, or, you know, whatever, like, I feel like it's not a coincidence. This idea didn't come to you with My Wonder Year because you couldn't do it. And the universe, God, whoever you want to call it, was just throwing it out there as a teaser. No, it came to you because you could actually do it. Now, the difference between you and somebody else who may have had a similar idea is the makeup, the mindset, where you are in your life, and if you're really going to take the action to actually do it. Because I think that when we're given these types of sort of like ideas or things, these desires and stuff, it's because we're capable of it. And now you just have that proof. You just see, I'm capable of it, and I did it. I executed on it.
Yeah.
You know? So it just, that's why I think it's important to hear people's stories like yours and stuff, because there's somebody else out there right now listening to this thinking their idea is too grand. It's too big. It's a lot of work. It's intimidating. They might not be able to successfully complete it. But it's like, you know what? Other people have had similar ideas. Just as big, just as grand, you know?
Absolutely. And here's the thing. Those people felt the same way.
Right.
They felt the same way. I will tell you, there was not a day where I didn't feel like this is too big. I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But the magic is in owning your thoughts, right? You've got to protect your thoughts. You control your mind. You control what you think about. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I found myself looking at the forest, I'd say, no. Let me work on this tree right here because this forest is intimidating, but let me work on this tree.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is I would tell people that, you know, I'm just going to move these pebbles. My job is to move stones every day. Mm. So every day I'm going to move these three stones, be it, let me reach out to this vendor in Prague for, you know, tours. Let me reach out to this travel agent about flights. You know, that I can do.
Yeah.
I might not think that I can put together a whole year long trip, but I know I can reach out to somebody about flights.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I can put together a communication about a travel itinerary. I know I can do those things.
Yeah.
And what ends up happening is you do those things every day. You move those stones every day and you step back and you're like, holy shit, I built a mountain.
Huh.
I just did that.
Yeah.
Right? And I think what happens is we get so caught up in the end game. There's nothing wrong with looking at the end game, right? Because, you know, you look at the end game and you think, oh, I have something to aspire to. That's what I'm trying to get to. It also helps you build out your plan, right? You start at the end game, you work your way backwards. But don't let that scare you.
Yeah.
Because all you'll see is how far away you are from it. Just look at the row right in the steps right in front of you. It really is just about, if you ask anybody that's built a huge empire or a big business or live the dream, they didn't look up at the end and say, yeah, I can do that easily. They looked up at the end and said, wow, that's a lot. Let me focus on this right here.
Yeah. What exactly what I can control right now, what I can do and how I can make a difference is just like incremental, looking at it like in increments and taking it in smaller doses so that it's not so scary.
When you go into your room, when you go into a dirty room, you don't just, I mean, it is overwhelming. You ever walk into a room and you're like, I don't even know where to start.
Where to start, yeah.
But you start somewhere. You start in the corner. You start in the closet. You make up the bed. Next thing you know, guess what? You have a clean room. It's no different. It really is no different. It really is the same. And I think the other thing that trips people up is they start comparing themselves to other people.
Oh,
and I think it's a great thing to have folks who motivate you. I just posted on Facebook the other day, I have a great circle of friends. So one of my good friends is Evita Robinson, who started No Madness. She's amazing. She's crazy amazing. And she is having a wonderful year. This year, last year, she's killing it.
Right.
She's doing a lot of great things. She just got accepted into a TED residency. She's partnering with Airbnb. She just had dinner with the CEO of Airbnb the other night.
Ooh,
I mean,
that's fantastic.
Things are going. Listen.
Yeah.
Listen. That's my girl.
Yeah.
But what happens is you have these motivators, right? You have these inspirational people around you, and it's great to have them, right? Because they inspire you.
Mm-hmm.
But the danger in that is you look at them and wonder why am I not there?
Mm-hmm.
What's so different about her and me?
Right?
What's so different about us? She could do this. I can't do this. She can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And what people really don't see, and I know a lot of people talk about this, a lot of these folks that I'm talking about talk about this. They talk about how you're comparing your year one to their year five.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing all the good stuff that's happened after they put in the work. No, Evie didn't start No Madness last week.
Right, right.
She didn't even start No Madness last year. You know, No Madness has been around for at least 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's what's very, very dangerous is comparing yourself to other people. Comparison is the thief of joy.
Hmm.
You know, it's when you look at your inspirators, and I mean your inspirational people and your motivators, you know, look at them as people who are exactly where you are right now, wondering if they could do this. Look at them that way. Don't look at them as, I might as well not even do it because I'm not like her, or I should be there already.
Yeah.
They were there. They were in your shoes.
Yep, they were. And everyone has to start somewhere. Yeah. So what's the one thing that lets you know now that you're living life on your terms, you're living a life according to her?
The one thing that lets me know I'm living life according to my terms is that, I mean, I feel like this one is for me, pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. I decided that I would live in Cape Town, South Africa during the months of January to April, and well, here I am. So this pretty much on my terms, yeah.
You made some decisions, and you made it happen, and you followed through. So,
here I go.
Yeah.
Here I go.
Yeah. So is there an end date for your world traveling journey? Because you're doing this full time now. So will you do this again next year, or will you just run the program from the States? How are you thinking that's going to work? And if you don't know yet, it's perfectly fine to say that too.
We're making some decisions about what this looks like in the future. I would consider this like the beta year. It's been a great 8 months so far. We've learned so much. And that's the other thing that people that I feel like stops people from trying things is making mistakes and failure. You can't be afraid of those things.
Yeah.
You're going to make mistakes, and it's okay. Sometimes those are the best ways to learn. And so we've learned a lot over the last 8 months. We've done some things well, and we've done some things not so well. And so now it's time to kind of go back to the drawing board and figure out what the next iteration of this looks like. But no matter what, I never planned on going on the next trip because my daughter will be starting high school next year.
Right, right.
So,
you didn't mention that, yeah.
Yeah, I've got to be in one place at least for a year or two. She plays soccer. And she wants to play in college. And soccer's all about, you know, it's a team sport. So she's got to be somewhere where she can – you know, play
build.
On the team and she can build with one team. So it's time for me to put down my wings a little bit and find a home base.
Yeah.
And let her but I mean really what that means is I go back to the life that I had before where I just traveled very often. I have a really great support system with my daughter. So Mm-hmm. I still have the freedom to travel, which is very important to me. Freedom is very, very important to me.
Right.
But I would run future iterations of the program from a home base, mm-hmm. and have community managers to run the programs.
Awesome. Sounds like a plan to me. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today, for sharing your story, and for being absolutely candid with your switch, pivot, and quit story. We definitely appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. It's really, really good to talk to you.
You can keep up with Liberia at her personal Instagram account at Wonder Woman INC, and that's WANDER Woman INC, and My Wonder Year on Instagram at My Wonder Year. WANDER year. And go to the website as well of the same name, mywonderyear.com, to learn more about the program and the special that they're running right now, where you can meet the My Wonder Year crew in Medellin, Colombia. Yes, honey, they have spots open right now, so don't delay. Check it out. You might be able to meet them there and be down with the crew for just a portion of the time. Thank you for listening, and as always, keep killing it.